So we're up to page Reish Lamed, I think. So the second paragraph, but I don't want to get bogged down by this, and I would like to move on a little bit. Okay. So let's. We'll try to move a little bit. So we're gonna jump around over here. Okay, so let's see. Let's just see on page Reish Lamed. You guys have pages. You have the next few pages. Okay. So we'll skip ahead a little bit. So if you go to page Reish Lamed again by the second paragraph. So we'll just get back. We'll get back into it from there, and then we'll see where we can go. Okay. So again, he's giving a little bit of background again how the Mekubalim pre the Baal Shem Tov, like sort of viewed how we deal with the physical the mishalim that Pnimis HaTorah uses to describe the higher world and ruchniyistic reality in physical terms. So that's what he's talking about over here, how the earlier Mekubalim dealt with it. Obviously, there's nothing physical in Shemayim. And so the fact that we're using physical terms is a mashal, and as we're using things that we can relate to connect to something which is really unrelatable. So he says like this, Umarizal Isa Bresh Sefer Kanfe Yoina, I think this is where we stopped. So from the Rizal, it's brought down in the Sefer Kanfe Yoina Vizal Shainai. Da yishino shadavka kitei lahavin nitim lanu rishus lasis mashal beivarm gufniim. In order to understand, in order to pashut have a language, so we're allowed to use mishalim, you know, parables using physical limbs and physical descriptions, in order to allow us to engage in the learning. Like the pasuk says, me besari achzaloika, that from my flesh I can perceive Hashem. In other words, the way it was interpreted is like I could use my physical body and physical life as a mashal, as just to make a language to then, you know, describe something which is indescribable. Avalat the chacham, but you, but again, the Rizal says, but you, the one that's learning, the chacham, tairayon esecha, you have to purify your ways of thinking. Ladas kilamala ancham davar gashmi chalil, to realize that above there's nothing physical. So even though you're using physical descriptions, what you're trying to talk about is really something that's not physical. V'kaidem atzilus inlan rishos lasik bay. And before atzilus, whatever the madregan ruchni is, before there's a certain, you know, even mishalim, you could be limited with how you're allowed to use them. Amnam mi'eses sfiras ulamata efshel daba derech mashal v'dimyon. Once, so the 10 spheres, for example, you could use mishalim in this world to talk about them. So you could talk about chesed in this world as a mashal to the chesed above. Adkan l'shen HaKadosh, that's what we see from the Arizal. U'pirush l'sifr d'tzneis HaKasav, and the commentary to Safr d'tzneis, it says, Zal Shainai, again, a similar idea. Al yifat chucha rayin asech leimer, don't be tricked by your human faculties to think, ki yesh b'mokam hanatzal mel yoyin amaras ha'kavanim, that in the higher world, there are these images and colors, all the things that maybe we use to describe them, you know, don't be tricked and seduced by your human, you know, experiences to think that's what's going on in Shemayim. Gehem ha-soivrim kein, heim kriyashol, because those people that think that, it's not true. Kein gavim v'leimara, there are no colors, there are no images in heaven. Hein emes, ki shar shen l'mala, and it goes on to say, ayin sham. Hainu, ki, hainu min l'mala, ma'atzilus, ein rishul sadar l'har af derech mashal. And that's what we find in the Svarim, that there's a certain madreg in the higher world, that above that madrega, so to speak, we don't even have good mashals to describe it. So it's like, there's no language for b'chlal. Brak me'eses, sirus l'mata, eshul adab derech mashal v'divin. From a certain point and down, so to speak, where we have the emergence of the 10 spheres. So again, we're not going into this so much, but from that point on, we can now use mishalim. So he says, now he explains. He says, you shouldn't think that pre the Baal Shem Tov, all these descriptions that the Svarim use were seen as like purely a mashal that really has nothing to do with the nimshal. K'may mishle shualim, umishle kaifsim, or like, you know, if a person says a mashal about, like, you know, using a fox as a mashal or something. So the storyline that you're making up about, you know, Goldilocks and the three bears, it's, you know, it could have been another mashal, whatever. You're trying to convey the message of go less than three bears. Which one is that? That's it's being part. Oh, that's the three. So what's the point of it? Point is home invasion, and like you get away with it. Whatever it is, I'm not sure. Whatever the nimshal is that you're trying to convey with that story. So it could have been other things. It could have been other things. They happen to use, you know, the gold oxen. Okay. But there's no real, like, toichen to the mashal, like Batson, right? Once you get the nimshal, then the mashal is completely irrelevant. It doesn't mean anything. So he says, shamashal min shul, the nimshal adam. So the mashal you're using is a fox, and the nimshal you're trying to learn to is by a human being. There's really no shaykhis. Shame zarm chagim samizad. These are alien things from each other. They're very foreign. The alzem ramzim hadvar makadesh manal. Therefore, in order to realize that we're not talking about, it's not that you know the difference between, you know, again the mashon that the zarm makadeshim used to describe the higher world is not as unrelatable as like a fox to a human being. In other words, because Lamaisa, this world is created as a reflection of the higher world. So, you know, it's not just like a random thing that the Megillah said, you know, let's the thing, what could we use? You know what? Fine, let's use the right arm to be a mashal for chesed. It's not completely random like that, because Hashem created this world as a way in which to learn about the higher world. So like that's the whole the function of this world, the mechanics of this world is to be a perfect sort of reflection of what's going on above. So it's not a random mashal that can just be interchanged. In other words,
it was created in this way to be a mashal.
Right. It was created to be a mashal. It's not like if you're making if you're trying to give off the message of whatever you know, I don't know, whatever it is, the tortoise and the hare. Right, so you're trying to say the lesson of, you know, consistency and, you know, just being consistent. You could have tortoise and the hare. It could have been another two animals. It could have been people. It happens to be you. So choose to came, you know, to choose the tortoise and the hare in order to be the mashal to that. But there's no be'etzem reason why you did that, and there's no real shaychus between the tortoise and the hare and that nimshal. You're just picking something. But not so when it comes to this world. And even pre-Baal Shem, again, we're going to see in a moment, post-Baal Shem, where it's like everything you're talking about in the higher world is what you're talking about in the Mashal too. But even if we're not thinking that yet. We're still thinking, we're engaging in this world and with discussions that are physical and whatever it is in order to deal with something that's beyond. But even then, we should recognize that what you're dealing with was custom made in order to be that mashal to the higher world. So it's not like a random zach where the Arizal is just like, he could have said other mashalim. Happens to be he picked this. No. This is, that's why, by the way, this has a very big nafkamin. I'll explain, I'll tell you why. Because if you're looking at something like the tortoise and the hare, unless you chop the nimshal, you're wasting your time, right? So it's like, again, if you're telling a story to your kids and your goal is just to put them to sleep, okay, so fine, whatever. But if your point is nimshal and the nimshal is not being explained, then you're completely wasting your time. When you're dealing with something that is purely mashal and the actual mashal itself is inconsequential, it's completely irrelevant, it could have been something else, then just studying the mashal has absolutely no significance unless it brings you to chap the nimshal. Because the mashal itself is just an empty shell that has no significance whatsoever. So here's the question. So if a person just learns the mashal of Pnimi Satira, is that called learning? Is that called being significant? If you don't chap the nimshal, right? So if the mashal was just, if it's purely about the nimshal, right, and we're just like, the Arizal is just like, let me find something to use as a mashal, but what he happens to pick is completely random, I guess you can say, then there's no significance, but there's no real connection between the mashal and the nimshal, except for the fact that you can get to the Nimshal from the Mashal. And if you don't get to the Nimshal, guess what? You wasted your time. Now, Chas V'Shalom, because the truth is, there are some Kubalim that felt that way. That if a person isn't chapping what the Nimshal is, you know what I mean? Then learning these Mishalim of the Arizal is a complete, is almost a, you could say, a waste of time. Because it's just, there's no point of these images, there's no point of these descriptions. The entire tachlis, the entire significance of these descriptions is only as a means to chap the Nimshal. If you don't chap the Nimshal, what are you doing?
Can we say that it depends on a person's approach to Torah? That if a person comes Shalei Lishma and comes and views the Taka as just a mashal, as a means to a nimshal, then in a hanami,
then it could be. But here's the point. The point is that's what he's about to say right now, which is that even the mashal that even describing these things as a mashal, it's not completely random. This was not a decision of the Arizal, so to speak, to use this mashal. Yeah. He could have done a different mashal there.
I'm
trying to bring up the point, but the point is that what he's trying to say is not like that. Is that the mashal this world is custom made to be the mashal for the higher world. So even if it's true that you don't chap the nimshal from it, let's say a person doesn't chap the nimshal, but the mashal is significant because this is what Hashem created in order to convey those ideas. Again,
the journey,
it's a complicated sugya. It's a complicated sugya. And I don't want to get too down the rabbit hole over here, and I want to be able to move on weiter from this. But it's like Agadata, you know. Like a good example of this is Agadata. If a person learns Agadata, there are certain Gemaras that, you know, I don't know. There's some like the Agadatas that are like fantastical. So clearly, they're a mashal to something. Like Rabbi Rochana is going on a boat, and he, you know, lands on an island. He makes a barbecue. It turns out it's not a land. It's crazy, right? So it's like, so obviously it's a mashal. You think it didn't physically happen. So if you learn it without chapping the nimshal, you make birchas atar in that. So is that, what is that? Is that learning? What is that?
That's why
it is, huh?
That's right,
Bishop, right? So chas v'shalom. So obviously it is. But the reason is because, again, it's similar to this. It's really getting to the kishkas of the sugya. It's like if Rabbi Rechana is trying to say an idea, and for whatever reason he decides not to say the idea directly, he's giving a mashal for that idea. And he could have said this mashal. He could have said a different mashal. It happens to be he picked this mashal. Then if you're just studying the mashal itself has no weight to it, except for the fact that it's a way to get the nimshal. So if you get the nimshal, then good. If you don't get the nimshal, what are you doing?
We wouldn't even be making like diukim in that. Muscle, like even the way we—I mean, this is obviously after Baal Shem, but there's so much that's still
there. Yeah,
making all the connection points within the muscle.
With that, right, and if it's not like for the purposes of chapping more than nimshal, then what is it? But the answer is that it's not like that for whatever reason. Like, without going to Rabbi Rechana, but the point is that the experience that Rabbi Rechana was going through is being conveyed by that mashal is, you know, sort of, you know, is that experience that Rabbi Rochan is talking about on a ruchniyistic level, that is the physical reflection of it. And so by chapping that, you are connecting to the source. Again, it's here, you know, instead of, here, let me put it this way, instead of thinking of mashal nimshal, think something and its shadow. An object and its shadow. It's still not perfect.
Like a manifestation.
Something like that. Instead of thinking, like mashal nimshal is, that relationship is like, yeah, if you don't chap the nimshal, then the mashal is like meaningless. But instead of thinking of it like that, think of it as like, again, like a shadow of something. Maybe even a shadow is a,
like a base yacht, like
yeah, like a way to access something, an access point, a reverberation,
it's like a muscle that has to be. It's an irreplaceable muscle because you wouldn't be able to replace it, like what we're saying. You wouldn't be able to replace it with something.
The answer, right? The answer is because it's not really a muscle. It's really a
way to get
a reverberation of something that's higher. It's like let's say someone's speaking, you know, and you don't necessarily hear the words, but you feel the vibrations of it. Let's say there's like a concert or something. I don't know. It's like very, very loud. So you can't hear the music, but you feel the vibrations of it. That means you have a shaychus to the concert. It means that's the way, like, this world, it's not like the term mushal nimshal is not.
It sounds like computer code, like what you see on the screen is the code. It's not a separate thing. It's very different, but it's the same thing.
Exactly. So it's an emanation from, it's a vibration of. It's not the thing itself, but it's a vibration of. So would it be, is it true that if a person is learning the story, so no, Sir Rabbi Baruch Hanna, in that case, let's say not in those, you know, for example, Rabbi Baruch Hanna. So there's a reality, there's a spiritual reality that he is living, that he's experiencing. The words that he says, the story that he comes up with, is the vibration of that. And so the idea is to connect. The goal is, again, this is the concept of Pri Baal Shem Tov, is that the thing that you're trying to connect to is not here. It's not here. So what happens? So here's the breakdown. Number one, what you're trying to connect to in Pnimius HaTorah is not here. So how do you connect to it? Well, now you have two approaches. You could either approach, so you need a language, you need something. This world is our domain of, we only have this world. The problem is what we're trying to connect to is not in this world. Okay. So you can think of it Moshel Nimshel, which Shlomo Kubalim did. If it's Moshel Nimshel, then you fall into this trap of like, well, if I don't chop the Nimshel, then I'm wasting my time. Which, again, without going into names, and I want to, you know, but there are some Kubalim, some like big names that you've heard of that indicate such a feeling. It's like, if you don't chop the Nimshel, then like, what are you doing? That's because they're seeing. I'm sorry?
To what degree? Meaning that you don't chop.
There's always layers, but I'm saying you don't chop anything. You're just reading the words. You chop the structure. You read the Agadita, but you don't, like, okay, he was on a boat, and you get the storyline, but you have no idea. A person can spend your entire life, many lifetimes, learning the Kisvei and Pnimius HaTorah to get the storyline. But what is the point of the storyline?
To whatever degree we understand them, like
that. Huh? No, so I'm saying, if you will, again, I'm giving that school of thought, that if you engage with Pnimius HaTorah as a mushal to a nimshal, then the argument is, well, if you don't chop the mushal, then the nimshal, then it's completely insignificant. Okay. But like I said, most schools hold not like that, because the way they think of it is not mushal nimshal so much, even though you might see those words, but it's not mushal nimshal, it's vibration to the thing itself. It's shadow to the object, right? I mean, shadows maybe like, in halacha, shadow is considered like a zach. It's like when you sit in a sukkah, right? So a lot of acharnim learn like this. The mitzvah is to sit in schach. But instead of the Rabbanu Shalom telling us to fill the entire sukkah full of schach and you just have to like sort of squeeze your way in, sit by the shade of the schach, and that's cool, you're part of the schach. So it's like this world is the shade of the higher world, is the shadow of the higher world, or this world is a vibration of the higher world. The tachlis is the higher world. And so, but how do I engage with that? By sitting in the shade of the schach. So when I learn the mushal, the storyline of the Kisvei Ari or Rabbi Chan, whatever the case is, that's a point of contact. Now in this mahalach, there is great significance in chopping just the mushal, so to speak. But certainly without a question, if you, the more you chop the schach itself through the shade, matoiv manoim. So the goal is still the nimshal, but it's not. But the significance of studying the mushal is not completely empty. That's what's going on. Okay.
Can we say that it's the same idea in this aspect? The ones that don't hold about the mushal nimshal, it's like Torah or learning or whatever, where you don't have to really understand. Obviously, you want to, but if you don't, you just do it, and then you know whatever it is, whatever happens. I used to sleep on it or whatever.
So this is something that we find in Torah as well. The truth is, right. The pasuk says, the pasuk describe the pasuk There's a pasuk in Chumash which describes itself. The pasuk describes Torah as Mashal HaKadmaini, the Mashal of the Ancient One. It's a Mashal to Hashem. But what do you mean by Mashal? Do you mean Mashal like the first school of thought, that it's just like Goldilocks and the Three Bears, that the Mashal has no weight and significance other than the fact that it's a means to Chap and Imshal? Well, in that case, that unless you learn Torah and you're chapping a lakus from it, then what are you doing? Chas v'shalom, that's not true. So even though the pasuk describes itself as a mashal, it doesn't mean that type of mashal. It means more of a vibration, a shade of something else. But this is where we find in Torah learning such an idea of like, maybe there's a difference between Torah Shebichsav and Torah Shebal Peh. It's like Torah Shebichsav, most pasukim say, if you just read psukim and chumash or Tanakh without chapping the translation, that's called learning. Why? If Torah is just is a mashal for ideas, then if I don't chap the ideas, then what am I doing? The answer is, it's not a mashal to ideas. It's a shade of ideas. It's a vibration of something else. So you can attach the vibration, you're good to go. So again, let's just see this, and then tomorrow, I guess it's already, I have to head out, but tomorrow I guess we'll move to the Gilui of the Baal Shem Tov. He says again, Avalein zeh mashal zar legamri el nimshal. But understand that even though you'll find the words mashal nimshal, it's not, we're not talking about an alien mashal to a nimshal. Mishle shualim, mishle kaifsim, like a mashal about a fox or about laundry, whatever it is. Sha mashal min hashual, va nimshal adam, that the mashal is a fox and the nimshal is a person. They're very far from each other. But it's not like that. That's what they're trying to say in those previous quoted sources. Kishar sham b'mala, that the root of these things is above. In other words, again, it's not just a mashal to what is above. The root of what you're experiencing down here is above. Again, what you're feeling is the vibration of something that's going on from above. Sharish eilu advar ma'nemarim b'mashal, the root of what you're talking about in the mashal, l'maluhu, is above. But again, like I said, this is pre-Baal Shem Tov, so the goal is still to get to the sharish. But it's just that you have access to the sharish through the vibration. Ubepardes HaKadosh HaYud Perak Beis, in the Pardes, the Sefer by the Ramak, we find Isa, Sha'adam Hudumus Vitsurel Yoina Bakolevarov, that a person is described as an image, as a form of what's going on in Shemayim. Futsel Elyain, this is the language that he uses, Taka. He's the shade. The person is a shade or a shadow. Shinaz Gashem Dumus Babu El Yaina, Shinidchas Bailam Haza, that what's going on in Shemayim is now being imprinted as a shade and like as a shadow into this world, Ayin Sham. Vichol Mahavin Zem Mash Adam Vinafshai. And we can see this by a person as well. Shagamis Hashem Roish V'yad L'mashal. If you say the word head or the word arm, Shanukarm Levarm Elu Shabay. Obviously, we use that to describe a person's body parts. Le'al Basav Atzamas Karm Shemis Elu. Really, you're not talking about you're not only talking about the flesh and blood. Rak La'Kayach Shabam. You're talking about also the sort of the soul in them. L'Chachm Shabroish, the wisdom of the mind. The energy that's contained in the hand, voice of Malacha, that works, and so on. And so we find such a thing that you can say words, and the words are not just the physical aspect of it, but the physical thing is connected to something deeper. Balkopanim, that's the way it was pre Baal Shem Tov. Again, I guess tomorrow we'll skip ahead to page Reish Lama Gimel, and we see how the Baal Shem Tov changed it, and then from there, we'll see how it translates into the Avodas Hashem. Okay, Mashiach.